Again. Okay, Gimel Amud Aleph at the top. Ad Sof Hashmara Rishona. So we know Rabbi Eliezer says in the Mishnah that you're allowed to say Kriya Shema of Mariv until the end of the first Hashmara. Okay, that we learned, which was the first portion of the night. So I ask the Gemara, Mai Kasavar. What does Rabbi Eliezer say? Rashi explains that the question is, why didn't Rabbi Eliezer just give a time? Why is he saying some strange thing? Just tell me what time. Tell me how many hours into the night. If he says that the 12-hour night is broken up into three parts, there are three mishmaros, lema ad arba shos. So then he should say that you can say Kriya Shema until the end of the fourth hour. Right? That's a third of the night. Just tell me 4 hours. We'll see later there's machlokes, and there is an opinion that says that there are four mishmaros at night. So if he holds there are four mishmaros at night, then lema ad shaloshos, then let him just say until the end of the third hour. I mean, just be straight, be clear. Why do you have to beat around the bush and talk about mishmaros? Just tell me how many hours into the night, depending on how he holds in terms of the mishmaros, three or four. Answers the Gemara. Liolam kasavar shalosh mishmaros havi halayla. No, really he holds that there are three mishmaros throughout the night. So why does he say it like this? Why doesn't he just say 4 hours? So he's coming to teach us that there are mishmaros. Rashi says really what the Gemara is saying here is that there are markings, there are simanim that are in Shemayim, and there are simanim also in the on the earth for the various mishmaros at night. Tanya, as the Brisa says, Rabbi Eliezer says, shalosh mishmaros havi halayla, that there are three mishmaros at night. Yaakov mishmar, mishmar Yosef, Kadosh Baruch Hu, v'shoei ka'ari. And on each mishmar, Kadosh Baruch Hu sits and roars like a lion. Shenemar, as the pasuk says, in the Yirmiyahu perek chaf hei, Hashem mimarom yishag, Kadosh Baruch Hu roars from on high, umimaon kodsho yitein kolo, and from his holy abode he projects his voice, shaog yishag al navehu, right, the double language of roaring on his dwelling place. The simin ledavar. So what's the simin? So Rashi points out that the pasuk here uses the word the shoresh shaag shin alef kimel three times. That's to indicate that HaKadosh Baruch Hu roars three times a night to as a simin for the three different mishmaros. The simin ledavar. Now what's the simin down here on earth? Because we obviously don't hear that roaring of HaKadosh Baruch Hu up in Shemayim. The simin ledavar mishmar rishona chamor noer. The first mishmar, a donkey, what's the word?
Braise,
thank you. Shnia klavim tzavakim. And the second mishmar, dogs bark. Shlish is tinok yonek mishada imo. And the third mishmar, a child nurses from his mother, v'isha misaperes imbaila, and a woman speaks with her husband. Meaning they're waking up early in the morning, and she's nursing her child, and she's speaking to her husband when they first wake up early in the morning. So, my kachashiv Rabbi Eliezer, itchilas mishmaros kachashiv, itchilas mishmar rishona siman alomelis. So the Gemara wants to know, these simanim that Rabbi Eliezer is going with, these simanim, are these the simanim for the beginning of each of the three mishmaros? Or are these simanim for the end of the three mishmaros? Which one is it? If it's for the beginning of the three mishmaros, so why do I need a simon for the first one? Or tehu, the first one is night, right? As soon as Tzeisa Kochavim comes, that's nighttime, that's the beginning of the first mishmar. So why do I need a simon of Chamor Noer? Isof mishmaros kachashiv. And if you're telling me that the simonim that he gave were the simonim for the end of the mishmaros, sof mishmar achron alamli, then I have the opposite question. Why do I need the last simon, right? Why do I need the simon that marks the ending of the last mishmar? Lamali simon, I'm sorry. Yimamahu, that's day. Right, as soon as Amar HaShachar comes, you know that it's day, and therefore, what do you need a simon for? So the Gemara says, "Alachoshiv sof mishmara rishona utchilas mishmara achrona veemtzayis deemtzayisa." So the Gemara says that the three mishmaros actually are all different. The first simon that was given was the end of the first mishmar, because you don't need a simon at the beginning of that one. The last simon that was given was the beginning of the last mishmar, because you don't need a simon at the end of that mishmar, because it's daylight. And the middle simon was the middle of the middle mishmar. Okay? So you have the end of the first mishmar, beginning of the last mishmar, and middle of the middle mishmar. Okay? V'ibai seba. Middle of the middle is essentially chatzos. V'ibai seba is actually a big discussion about this Gemara in regards to the recitation of slichos and chatzos. Many of the posts can quote this Gemara There's different rayos, the chatzos is an esrat, and are we talking about chatzos, not talking about chatzos? Vibai seim, and the second answer of the Gemara is, kulu sof mishmaros kachashiv, that really all the three simanim are all talking about the end of the mishmaros, v'chitema achrona, botzarich, and our question was, so for the end of the mishmaros, then the last one does not need a simin, l'maynaf kimino, what do we need it for? L'mikrei kriyashma, we need it for someone who's waking up and wants to say kriyashma of the morning, l'man degoni, bebeis eifel, v'lo yadazman kriyashma emas, for a person who's sleeping in basically in a cellar, in a place with no windows. So he's waking up, he has no idea what time it is, they didn't have clocks, he has no idea what time it is, he doesn't know if it's daylight or it's not daylight. So therefore, Kaman the Isha Misaparasim Baila Vitina Kionik Mishodimbo, Lekum Velikre. So he knows that at the time when the kids are waking up and starting to nurse from their mothers, and women are waking up and talking to their husbands, he knows that it's already daytime and it's time to begin reciting Kriyashma. Tosus points out here that the earliest time for Kriyashma is not Alos HaShachar. The earliest time for Kriyashma is Mishayakir, Bein Karsi Lelavan, different Shiurim of Mishayakir, Bein Tchelis Lelavan. So that's later than Amar HaShachar. So what good is it for him to know when Amar HaShachar is, but it's not yet time to say Kriyashma. So this basically gives a very practical answer, that once he knows it's Alos HaShachar, he's going to get up, get dressed, and get ready. By the time he gets ready, it'll be Mishayakir. So it'll be the time for Kriyashma. Okay, Amar Rav Yitzchak Bar Shmuel Mishmei Derav. Our Rav Yitzchak Bar Shmuel says in the name of Rav, Gimel Mishmaros Havei Halayla. There are three Mishmaros at night. Yaakov Mishmar, Mishmar Yoshev, HaKadosh Baruch Hu, V'Shoei Kari. And on each one, HaKadosh Baruch Hu sits and roars like a lion. V'Omer, and he says, and this is in addition to what we said before, Oy Lebanim Sheba Avanoseya Mechrafti Esveisi. Woe is to my children, that because of their sins I destroyed the Beis HaMikdash, V'Sarafti Eseichali, and I burned my Heichal, V'Iglisim Levenumos HaOlam, and I've scattered them, I've exiled them among all of the nations of the world. Tanya, Amar Rabbi Yosi, Pamachas Hayisi Mahalich Baderech, V'Nichnasti L'Churva Achas Michurvos Yerushalayim L'Hispali. So Rabbi Yosi says, one time I was walking on the road, and I had to daven. So I entered, there was a collapsed building that was deserted. I entered that building to find a quiet place to daven. Ba Eliyahu Zachar Latov V'Sham Ali Ala Pesach. Eliyahu comes and waits for me by the door while I'm davening. Atche Siyamti Tfilasi, until I finish my tefillah. La'achar Shesiyamti Tfilasi. So after I finished davening, Amar Li, he said to me, Shalom Alecha Rebbe. He said to me, Shalom Aleichem. V'Amarti Lo, Shalom Alecha Rebbe Yomori. And he responded, Shalom Aleichem, in a very bakavadik way. V'Amar Li, B'ni Mipnei Ma Nichnasta L'Churva Zu. So he asked Rabbi Yossi, what are you doing in this Churva? Amarti Lo, L'Ispala. So I said, I came into daven. V'Amar Li, Hayalcha L'Ispala Baderech. So he told me, I should have davened on the road. Why are you coming into the Churva? So I said, I'm nervous that maybe people who are walking on the road are going to disturb me, ask me for directions, they're going to bother me. You know, I was worried about being distracted while I was davening. That's why I went to find a quiet place. So he said, if that was the case, then you should have davened a short tefillah. Rashi says this refers to the tefillah of Havinenu, which we discussed in the fourth parak. You have a shortened tefillah for people who are in a situation where they can't daven the whole Shmoneh Esrei. So you shouldn't have davened the whole thing. So what Elio is saying is that it's better not to leave the road and daven a short Shmoneh Esrei than to go into the Churva and daven a full Shmoneh Esrei. You'll see why. Okay? So says Rabbi Yossi, Ba'osa Shah, from this conversation with Elio Anovi, Lamadati Mimenu Shlosha Dvarim, I learned three things. Lamadati Sheinichnas in the Churva, I saw number one, that you're not allowed to go into a Churva, because obviously Elio was very concerned about me going into the Churva, so you're not supposed to go into a Churva. Number two, I also learned that you're allowed to daven on the road. And I also learned that if you're davening on the road and you're concerned about being distracted, you could daven at tefillah kitzara, you could daven havinenu. Okay? Now he picks up with the conversation with Eliyahu. So Eliyahu said to me, my son, what voice did you hear in this churva? I heard a basko, shemenahemes kiyona, that was like cooing like a dove, the omeres, and saying, Oy lebonim sheba avanoseh mechrafti es veisi, woe is to my children, or to the sons, that because of their sins I destroyed my house, v'sarafti es heichali, and I burned my heichal, v'iglisim lebenumos bucha umos, and I've scattered them among the nations, v'yomar li. And Eliyahu said to me, Chayecha v'chaye roshcha, right? It was like almost like a lotion of shvua. I promise you. Lo shazu bilvano mereskach. It's not just at that time that the Baskol is saying this. Hello, b'chol yom v'yom shalosh pe'amim omereskach. Three times a day, the Baskol says this. Says all these things that woe is, you know, all because of the averos, the Beis Hamikdash was destroyed and they went into galus. You see the pain of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. But lo zubil vad, ela b'shosh Yisrael nechnasan labate knesis ulabate midrashos. Not only this, says Eliyahu, but when Klal Yisrael comes into the shuls and the bate medrash, ve'onin yehei shmei agadol mevorach, and they respond, yehei shmei rabba, HaKadosh Baruch Hu menanei arosho v'yomer, HaKadosh Baruch Hu shakes his head and says, Ashrei ha-melech she-mekalsen aso be-beiso kach. Right? Fortunate is the king whose subjects praise him like this in his house. Right? It's such a special praise. Malo la'av shehigla es banav. But oi, what's going to be with the father who had to send his sons away? Who had to exile his sons? Vo'i lehem lebanim shegolum yal shulchan avim. And what was to the children who were exiled from the table of their father? So you see, on the one hand, the power of Amenei Heishmei Rabba, Kadosh Baruch Hu, such a beautiful praise. Even Kadosh Baruch Hu, so to speak, enjoys it. But at the same time, it reminds him of the distance between us and that which we still need to fix. I want to do just a little bit more until the two dots of the next Amud, because this is still about the Churva, and then we'll stop until Sunday. Tanu Rabbanan, the rabbis taught in a brayso. B'nei Shloshim Dvarim, Ein Nichnas in the Churva. There are three reasons why a person should not go into a Churva. We learned that from Eliyahu, you can't go in. Now we're giving three reasons why. Number one, B'nei Chashat. Because we're worried about suspicion. The people are going to suspect that you're going there to be mezana with a woman who's waiting, a zona, who's waiting there to be mezana with you. Number two, mipnei ha-mapolas. We're worried that the churva is not a very strong structure, and therefore maybe it's going to fall on you. It's a sakana. Mipnei ha-mazikin. And we're worried about mazikin who are going to hurt you. So the Gemara asks, why do we need all three reasons? Mipnei chashad. Why do we need the reason of chashad that we're worried about these a woman, a zona waiting for a person? But typically, mishum mapolas. Why don't we just say mapolas? Mapolas sounds like a very nice reason. Sakana. So the Gemara says becharti. Now we're talking about a new churva, meaning the churva just went into ruins, and therefore the remaining walls are still relatively strong, and we're not concerned that those remaining walls are going to fall down. So the Gemara asks, typically mishum mazikin. So why don't we just say the problem is mazikin? Just give that reason, mazikin. So the Gemara says betray. Because we're talking about two people going. So two people, we know generally mazikin do not hurt two people at the same time when they're together. So the Gemara says, I betray, chashad nami leka. So if you're talking about two people together, so then also there should be no suspicion about a zona. Right? Why? Because the Gemara says in Kiddushin that a person is allowed to be miyachid with two women. There's no problem of yichud. So we're not concerned about that. Or, says the Gemara, betray upritse. Right? The Gemara says we're talking about two people, but they're prutzim. So therefore there's still a problem of yichud. So he asks the Gemara, mipnei ha-mapolas, why do we need the reason of mapolas? But typically, mishum chashad u-mazikin. So let's just have those two answers. Chashad and mazikin. So the Gemara says, betray u-ksheri. We're talking about two people and their kosher. So therefore, two people, we're not worried about mazikin. They're kosher. So we're not worried about chashad. We're just worried about mapolas. Mipnei ha-mazikin, why do we need the reason of mazikin? But typically, mipnei chashad u-mapolas. Why don't we have these two reasons of chashad and mapolas? So the Gemara says, "Bechur b'chalati." We're talking about a new ruin, so we're not worried about mapolas. Who betray uksheri? We're not worried about chashad because they're kosher people. Two people and they're kosher. Asks the Gemara the question that Esther's about to ask. He betray mazikin namilaka, right? If we're talking about two people, so there's also no mazikin, right? Two people also prevents mazikin. So the Gemara answers, "Bimekoman chayshina." And no, if you're walking into the place of the mazikin, then you have to worry even for two people, right? If they're coming to you, then they don't attack two, right? But if you're coming to them, all bets are off. They'll attack even two people. V'ibayi seima, another answer the Gemara gives. Li'olam b'chad u'b'chur b'chadati. Really, we're talking about one person. So there is a chashash mazikin, okay? And we're talking about a chur b'chadati. It's a new churva. So we're not worried about mapoles. But it's the kai b'dabra. But it's in the sada. It's out in the wilderness somewhere, okay? And therefore, the hasam mishum chashad leka. So there, we're not worried about chashad. Rashi explains because the women don't really go out there. There's no women out there, like in the middle of the wilderness, middle of the fields. There's no women out there. The women stay by the city, so you don't have to worry about chashad. But you do have to worry about mazikin. I'm sorry, the Gemara says it. Umashu mazikinika. But according by mazikin, there are because it's only one person. Okay, Rabbi Yisai.